right, our scripture reading today will come from Philippians chapter 3, verses 17 through 21.
All right. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body.
Amen. Have you taken some time and thought about citizenship in heaven? How awesome that will be, and what a privilege that it is, and that we can have that citizenship and confidence here and now. This life, this human life here on earth. The Apostle Paul, he was 100% confident and excited about that type of citizenship in a perfect place to call home, the kingdom of heaven. The Apostle Paul was also so confident in the presence and the leading of the Holy Spirit in his human life as well. That in his life, right then and there, as he went and traveled and preached and taught and confronted, started churches and went back to churches to encourage them and say, hey, you're going to have to straighten up here. Hey, you got to get in line. Hey, you're out of line. The Apostle Paul was so confident in the presence and the leading of the Holy Spirit. As it says in verse 17, join together. He didn't say point to one person or two people or one family. He's speaking to all of them. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes. Yes, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. That's what he says. That's what he told them. That's what he wanted them to do. You was to go back and read the whole chapter. You could read in verse 2, he's given a warning. He's saying, watch out. He says, watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those manipulators of the flesh. He's saying, watch out, folks. They're coming for you, church. The world's coming for you. Satan's coming for us. The demons and his legions, they're coming for us. They've always has been. They've been at work. They're going to continue to work. They're going to continue to do whatever they can to keep you, to keep the church from doing the ministry of Jesus Christ, to keep us preoccupied, distracted, discouraged, down and out, at odds with each other. You name it, they've done it. They're going to continue to do it. They're going to make it worse, and it will get worse. Things always get harder before they get better in these type of situations. And when we're talking about relationships with people, and this warning goes for you and I as well. As he said in verse 15, you heard, now I tell you again with tears. With tears, with passion, with love, with concern, with just, I want you to get it right. He says, now I tell you again with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. He didn't want the people living like that. He wanted them to have a complete change and transformation in the name of Jesus. No longer wanted them to be consumed by the lust of the body, the desires of the human heart, the own human mental intellect, because we're not that smart. We're actually very ignorant people, but yet we come off thinking we know so much. To be and to live as an enemy of the cross of Christ. It's different for all of us. There's no one cookie cutter thing that we could just point to and focus on that is the one and only problem in the world. That is the one and only problem within the families. That is the one and only problem in the church on earth. It's not. There's no cookie cutter. Devil does not play fair. He follows no rules. He breaks all the rules because he is the master of lies. There's only one thing that is cookie cutter, one thing, and it's called sin. Sin. Verse 19, what did Paul say? Their destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is their shame. Their destiny is their destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is their shame. Mean words, right? Not too many church people want to hear the pastor tell them that. And I'm sure the people back then, they didn't want Paul coming back and giving them no earful. But that's what he did. Their destiny is destruction. What would that look like? Well, you destroy something. It doesn't have to be physical buildings, because when Satan's involved, it involves people. They destroy people. They destroy churches, businesses, families, pastors, ministry. They're out to destroy godly people. Destiny is destruction. Lord, help us. Let us not be enemies. Their God is their stomach. And this goes way beyond eating too much. This goes way beyond feasting at the table. This goes way beyond having too much to eat. This is about our physical body. Eyes, what do you see? What do you allow your eyes to see? Mind, what are you putting into your mind? What things are filling your mind? What type of knowledge? What type of nonsense? What type of lies? What perspective? What soapbox do you cling to? Are you clinging to the Word of God, the living, everlasting Word? The body. Body, what are you lusting for? The body, lusting after the things of this world. And the list goes on. I don't have to mention them. The heart's desire, greediness, the wanting of more, the wanting of just wanting to be wanting. Gotta have the latest and greatest. Clothes, homes, cars, wanting women, wanting men, wanting things, wanting drugs, wanting land, wanting a bigger this and bigger that. Wanting to be the best, the perfect, top dog, king of the mountain, king of the hill. Just wanting and wanting and wanting. Their glory is their shame. What is the definition of shame? Shame is a painful feeling of humiliation or distress caused by the consciousness of wrong or foolish behavior. Shame. Not too often we talk about in our casual conversations about how shameful we feel or how shameful we were after we'd done X, Y, Z or how we treated someone. We never talk about that, do we? A lot of times we wouldn't even mention it to our family or our children or even our spouse. So we probably don't talk to God about it very often, do we? We really don't want God revealing those moments when we should be feeling shame. for something we said, something we did, the way we acted, how we popped off, smarted off, or whatever handheld gesture we made, shared or showed somebody. I ask, do you want to be remembered in any of these ways? Do you want to be remembered by you caused destinations of destruction? That use all about God of self, stomach, body, mind, and soul? That in your glory is really just a bunch of shame? Church attending people do not fall into sin because they deny what God says in the Bible. Let me say that again. Church attending people do not fall into sin because they deny what God says in the Bible. Church attending people fall into sin because they listen to the world. Church attending people fall into sin because they listen to the world. They listen to this fallen information, to the evil and to the wickedness. They listen to the master liar, Satan himself. Do you know that the world is listening to all the wrong things, but they're listening to each other? And we as Christians, as church, we listen, we hear a lot of things as well. And I had just unbelievable moment. It's probably 10 years ago now. I was in Canton, Ohio. My oldest son was on the council, conference council on youth ministry. I'd have to bring him to the meetings at the area center, drop him off for the day, usually Saturdays, and then wait around in town for 2, 4, 6 hours, whatever they was doing for the day. So in this day, I'd brought my stuff to prepare for a sermon, all my resources and everything I needed. Dropped him off, started like 8 o'clock in the morning, went down to the McDonald's there on the corner where the old Kmart used to be. Getting set up, getting my food, and it's still morning. The booth behind me filled up of church people. And as I sat there trying to eat and trying to work, they're just ranting and raving about their church, about their pastor, about how they sold the parsonage and nobody knew about it. And they were hopping mad, saying things that church people shouldn't be saying. And this was a United Methodist Church gathering. I wasn't going to be able to work in that condition, hearing those things, because they was going to probably be there longer than I was. So I get up, I gather up, I finish eating, and I just had to do it. So I go back, I'm here, I never go back to their booth. I said, I'm a United Methodist pastor in the East Ohio Conference. I said, have you prayed for your church? Have you prayed for your pastor? And their mouths hit the table, and I walked away. I don't know them. They're probably going to recognize me someday, somewhere, but I don't know, but nobody's ever said anything. But that's uncalled for. That's not being the church. That's not how God's called you to be the church. Just like God does not call any pastor to divide the church or destroy a church. That is not in the Bible. That's not what Paul was ever trying to do. We have a lot of opportunities to fellowship, to communicate, and to lead people into a citizenship that gets them to heaven. It gets them out of this muck and mire of a world in which we live. Yes, there's people that's going to frustrate you. Yes, there's going to be moments that you're disappointed. Yes, there's going to be people that think different and live different and look different. what are you gonna do? You gonna live your life complaining all the time? Complaining instead of praying? Are you always gonna be complaining instead of reading the Bible, reading God's word? Or are you just always gonna be complaining and not looking for an opportunity where, how can I help? How can I help? Time is not on our side, church. Time is not on your side. I have a poem I've shared at funerals. The author is unknown. It talks about that issue about time. I'm sure you've heard it or read it. Time is free, but it's priceless. You can't own it, but you sure can use it. You can't keep it, but you can spend it. And once you've lost it, you can never get it back. It's gone. Time is not on our church, on our side, as a church or even as individuals. We do not know how much time we have in this life or how much life we have yet to live. But we do have verse 21. Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. What a transformation, amen. You're not going to take this old garbage stuff into heaven's gates. It's all going to get left right here on earth, and you're going to be, between here and there, there's going to be a transformation for those that know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You're not only going to a perfect place, you're going to go with a glorious body, amen? Things restored, eyes, sight, sound, joints, you name it. There's going to be a place at heaven's banquet table for you. Six things I want to share with you about all believers. All believers are called to live wisely, but some Christians are given divine wisdom. All believers are called to walk by faith, but some Christians have extraordinary faith. All believers are called to teach others the truth of God. Some Christians are given the gift of teaching. All believers are called to serve and minister to others. Some Christians are given a great ability to help others. All believers are called to give cheerfully, but some Christians have been given the ability to give more abundantly. All believers are called to be merciful. Some Christians are given the gift to show extreme, wonderful, loving mercy. We're all called to do it all. But y'all have special gifts. I don't know about your life. I barely don't even know about mine sometimes. I don't know about your family. A lot of times I don't know about my family. I don't know why you cry sometimes. Sometimes I don't know why I cry. But if you believe in the sacrament of communion, if you believe with your full heart that in the receiving of those elements today, that they cleanse the sin from your body, they cleanse the human body because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you won't allow these other things. You won't allow your destiny to be destruction. You won't allow your stomach and body to become your God. You will not allow your glory to be that of shame. You will not allow it. And because you said no to it, Jesus won't allow it to happen either. It will not happen. So as we go forward, let us live in that realm where Jesus is cleansing, he's molding, he's shaping, he's equipping us to be more like him. More like him now for that day where we will have that glorious body in the kingdom of heaven. Would you pray with me? Father God, I pray that we are putting these earthly and human things behind us. These things that Paul talked about to the early church and Christians then, that he said that had to be no longer of their desires, no longer of their lifestyle, no longer a part of their daily pattern or habit, so that we can be one with you, Lord. You have given us so much. Given us so much so that we can be spiritual leaders, so that we can continue to be a church doing the ministry that the Holy Spirit leads us to and what you have always envisioned us to accomplish and do in the name of Jesus Christ. So, Father God, I lift up these people gathered here today and those watching, those listening. I lift up everyone in between that's part of this church in some way, shape, or form. Lord Jesus, continue to make us more like you. Continue to give us that spiritual wisdom and knowledge and a holy boldness to live lives no longer like this world, but to live a life in the name of Jesus Christ, holy and pure. So one day, we will live in with the citizenship in the kingdom of heaven where there will be perfection. Father God, that is so exciting to look forward to, and you will equip us between now and then. And we thank you, Jesus, and I pray in your name. Amen.